Okay, Reish Samach Aleph and Nesivus Shalom. Yesh Lefarish v'zeh Loshon HaKosev. Okay, last week the Nesivus Shalom finished off with, or whatever, last time we learned, the Nesivus Shalom had said that there are those who go through the motions and do all the right things, but it's not making a dent in their premiums. He was obviously emphasizing the necessity that a person needs to internalize everything that one is doing. We can explain with this the pasuk that says, lest you see with your eyes, uva'aznav yishma, and with your ears you will hear, uva'va yavin, and your heart will understand, v'shavu defala. Then one will do tshuva, and he will be cured. So we see from this pasuk that the tshuva tzarech, that for tshuva it is necessary, she'amuna v'ayira yiyu b'b'chines yira b'einav, that a person's fear of Hashem should be the ability to see with one's eyes, maybe hear it with clarity, as if one would be able to see the Creator within creation with one's own eyes, meaning that it should be so clear to a person that the godliness within creation, that wherever a person looks, a person should be able to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. Choloshan HaRavid, as the Ravid says, Ben Adam, person, Pekach Einecha, open your eyes, V'tira es Beirach V'es Yitzrech, and you will see your Creator. You will see, all you got to do is open your eyes. Chayin V'aznav Yishma, so also with one's ears, one should hear. It's Koy L'Hashem HaKoyde Elav, the voice of Hashem calling out to him, Shuvu banim shevavim, return, my sons, who have gone wayward. Im vashpos abas kol yotzes b'chol yoyim v'kodes alibos b'nei Yisrael, whether it's the influence of the baskel, of the heavenly voice that goes out every day from Har Sinai and calls out to the hearts of b'nei Yisrael, hamar idas t'vavoi, that causes one's heart to tremble. Whether it's through different happenings, that the person hears the voice of Hashem calling out to him. Then one's heart will understand, and he will do tshuva, and he will be cured. His tshuva will be with totality. But if a person's emuna and fear of Hashem are not with clarity, he doesn't see with his eyes, he doesn't hear with his ears, he's only going through the motions, how can his heart understand? And how can he be cured? And therefore, is that righteous or avoid him? The beginning of Avodah is the Hoya Chashkus Nafshai, to illuminate the darkness of one's soul, the Amunah Behira, with a clear Amunah of Yerushimayim Taira, and with fear of heaven that is pure. Achbein of Yira, until he's able to see with his eyes, Ve'ozna of Yishma, he's able to hear with his ears, the Vava Yavin, his heart will understand, Shein Oid Mavadai, that there is nothing besides Hashem. V'shavu Defalai, then the person will return and he will be cured. Okay. The next mimer is, seems to be totally not relevant to us. Subjugating physicality. We're beyond that already.
Well, look how short it is.
Piece of cake. We learned above that for someone nowadays that we don't have the karbonas, so we have to learn about the karbonas, and that's as if we did it. So let's learn about this.
And it's only how many?
Hachnas achomrius, subjugating one's physicality. Says, achomrius is physicality.
Is that literally what it means?
Yeah.
It has no relation to chumrah. No.
No.
No relation to chum.
The word chamar is. I'm not sure it actually has a relation, but the relation is made many times. Right. Chomer means material. So chomrius is materialism, which is physicality. Yes.
What's more? Is it also chomer? It's different.
No, it is also chomer.
Yeah.
Umaltem is arlas levavchem. It says in the pasuk, "You shall circumcise the foreskin of your heart."
Yeah, they need a specialized model for that.
Right,
cardiologist.
Actually, the word "arla" doesn't really mean foreskin. It means the that is clogging.
Yeah.
No, the right word is.
Pasuk, right? Somewhere.
Yeah, right there. Varn Yud.
It's also used by Moshe's lips. By Moshe Bana's lips, also used on all sides.
Yeah, circumcise your lips.
Malzam Zarlaz the Vavchem.
Block.
You shall circumcise the Orla of your heart. Va'orpachem lisak shuoid. And your neck you shall no longer harden. It's Pasuk in Devarim. Areka lezakech es alev. Huh? Areka lezakech es alev. Is that your brother's impression? The reka means the base. To be able to purify one's heart, that one shall be worthy of serving Hashem, or that the heart should be befitting to be able to serve Hashem. As the pasuk says, you have to serve Hashem with all of your heart. So the reka, the blueprint. In mitzvahs umaltem is arlas the vavchem. The mitzvah of circumcising the orla of the heart. A person cannot purify his heart unless he first circumcises and removes the orla of his heart. What is the orla of the heart? That is the power of physicality that is in his heart, that drives a person, or that draws a person, to the things that a person desires. So also, the second part of the pasuk, which says, you shall not harden your neck, in Yonai, What it represents is achnas lachaymer, is subjugating the physicality shebegufa shel adam, that is in the person's body.
But you were close. It was the parsha for the shalom zachar for my older son, so I had to let it. Ah. And it was right on point here, you know, with Orla. So.
I guess I'm not sure what these two things are. First of all, he says one is subjugating, one is removing the Orlas Alev, and he says Orlas Alev is the natural desires that a person has, and the hardening of the neck is the physicality of man. I'm not sure what the difference is. As it is brought about the B'si Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, that he would carry every day, he would carry a sack of rocks on his over his shoulder, to subjugate his hard neck. Physicality.
Cheaper than going to the gym.
Hey, you want a hard, you want hard neck muscles? That sounds like a good plan.
This is the subject of the hard neck. Father Shabiyarno. I mean, the word Arpa Akash is used for stubbornness. That's what hard neck means.
Stiff neck. Yeah, stiff neck people.
I mean, stubbornness. So to do anything that is against your will be subjugating your stubbornness.
But to carry a bag of rocks every day seems to me to take extraordinary stubbornness. I'm going to carry this bag of rocks, I don't care. You know?
Right, so it does require stubbornness to overcome stubbornness.
Don't you know extraordinarily stubborn people act that way? Carry a bag of rocks around? Well, just similar.
In my head.
That's my head. Similar.
It does require stubbornness to overcome stubbornness. If a person has to really commit to overcoming his stubbornness, or else they're not going to overcome their stubbornness.
Well, how's this overcoming your stubbornness? Seems like this is exercising stubbornness.
I definitely don't want to carry a bag of stones every day.
Definitely, you're going to do it anyway. Okay, I can understand this.
I'm going to do that just to
remind me
strength
to be that way.
Will.
What?
I think this strengthens, exercises your will, certainly. But how that breaks down stubbornness seems to me that I'm missing something over here. It sounds like this would be easy
to drop, not carry around the bag of rocks.
But that's the opposite of stubbornness.
Right?
That's
okay. I'll go this way, whatever.
He's carrying
the
bag of rocks.
I can't give this up because it's disabled. But I'm going to do this, and that's that. Physical reminder. I should be doing that. That's
what we're talking. Not necessarily. About. I think every person has their stubbornness in different areas. And if a person realizes that the need to overcome their stubbornness, the way to overcome that stubbornness will be to do something that is opposite of your will, something that you would have been stubborn on the other direction, in order to overcome that stubbornness.
Say this and then set it aside. I think maybe it's our keep being told we're a stiff-necked people and so on. It's because of Jews' stubbornness that we've stayed Jews.
I was going to say, that's not necessarily a negative character trait.
It doesn't necessarily have to be negative, but it could be very negative.
We could have said a long time ago, okay, fine, no, never mind.
Let's we'll throw on a towel.
Way to go. Okay.
Right, so it's for him, whatever the B'si Yosef felt, that carrying the rocks on his shoulder every day is something that was totally against his nature. And that's how he overcame what he called his stubbornness. For some of us, it might be coming, walking in the morning and smiling again to our wives and saying good morning. That's just an example.
I'll take the rocks. Hmm.
You'll take the rocks and you say what?
I'll take the rocks. Oh, hello, dear.
Okay.
What's with the rocks? She says.
I know what I'm thinking in that house.
Okay, so each person's got to subjugate their stiff neck some different way. Well, there should be Arnav in Yigolas Mitzrayim. This is how we explain this concept of Golas and Mitzrayim. Shenemel Avram Avinu b'Bris Mein Absarim, was said to Avram Avinu by the Bris Mein Absarim. Yedoya Teida, you should know a certainty, Kiyer Yez Arach Aberes Leilahem, that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. Avodam Avinu Oitzam Avram Yeshana, and they will be enslaved and afflicted for 400 years. What is this? What was the point of this difficult exile that was decreed upon them before they even sinned? What did they accomplish through their golus? They entered Mitzrayim, 70 people that were tzaddikim, and they left after having sunk to the 49th level of Tumah. So what did the Golas accomplish? The explanation is Golas was not a punishment or an atonement for their sin. Rather, it was a preparation for them to be the nation Yisrael, Am HaNivchar, the chosen nation. So in order for that, they had to go through a purification of physicality, an ultimate purification of physicality, by being enslaved and being afflicted. Like the Kabbalah of Torah, only after that were they worthy to accepting the Torah, the Rosh Hashanah, and to inherit the land. And this purification of physicality, that was the basis for their being chosen as the treasured nation. And just like that is with the general nation Yisrael, also each and every individual. First step, he connects the Avodas Hashem to enter into Avodas Hashem, Achnas Achaim, is subjugation of physicality. So he's saying is that the purpose of Golos Mitzrayim was for us to go through this total demoralization of our physicality. To the point that we had no we weren't even entitled to our own will.
Nullification of self.
Nullification of self was it was total right. That's what demoralization, nullification. That's what entitled us to a Kabbalah Sotor, even though that at the time it caused us to fall to a very low level, because when a person is demoralized, they don't feel like they have any, person doesn't have any values. When a person has no realization of self, they actually mean nothing to themselves. They can do whatever they want. It's they can think whatever they want, they can speak whatever they want. It's just, that causes the person to fall to Memtah Shari Tumah. But Hashem Yisbarach was able to use that to our advantage. Take a person that was basically at zero. So it's a lot easier to take a person that's zero and make them into something than take a person that's already at 80 and say, exchange yourself.
It's exactly what the military does to this day. They take a raw recruit, break him down to basically nothing, and rebuild him into the mold that will be the best fighter that the military can have. It's the same concept, just applied slightly.
Like you said, it's exactly the
Okay. I'm still waiting for someone to explain what the purpose of our golas is. We don't seem to be going anywhere. Atam shazur eishes avayda. The reason why this is the beginning of our avayda is ki achomer hu areka lakechas atuma umvader atavis arayz, because physicality is the foothold for the powers of tuma. It is the dwelling place for all for a person's bad desires. And if a person wants to overpower their spiritual strengths and holy strengths, the person first needs to subjugate their physicality. And therefore, tzaddiki kadmoi, the early tzaddikim, their avoda was to afflict themselves and to fast. They felt that it was impossible for them to enter the gates of avodas Hashem without first purifying and subjugating their physicality. But however, due to the weakness of our late generations, and since affliction and fasting damage a person, they harm a person greatly, the tzaddikim true tzaddikim have taught us the way to subjugate one's physicality, that a person should do things that are opposite of his will, opposite of what his heart desires. As it is told about Rabbi Shlomo Kalina, that when he was about 3.5 years old, he was holding on to a roll in his hand, and he was crying. So when he was asked why he's crying, he answered he's very hungry. But he heard, he was in the house of his father. He heard from his father, from his rebbeim. Also, he said that he was always hearing that something that a person desires, he shouldn't do. So he's very hungry. He has his roll and he doesn't want to eat it. I can't any alcohol. That's why he can't eat it.
His desire is to be.
This was after he learned Shas twice.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I understood what this was.
Nowadays, Nagas Kazoo. You should know that children have unbelievable will. Unbelievable will.
And we break it away from them. And a lot of times we destroy it.
Sometimes
they
break us.
Keeps them out of prison.
Either puts them in or takes them out.
They will grow up thinking they can do anything they feel like.
They go through that
fist. Kazu, through this conduct, if a person does the opposite of what they desire, that is the type of affliction that we still can do nowadays. It subjugates physicality, as it is written in the Zohar HaKadosh, Gufet Loi Salik Bein Ahoyda Denishmas Yivad Shembe. Zohar HaKadosh says that just like a log, if it doesn't catch fire, what you need to do is chop it up. If you chop it up, it's a lot easier for the fire to catch onto it. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, same applies to the body. that if the fire of the neshama, if the fire of the neshama doesn't grab onto it, you need to chop it up. A person needs to subjugate themselves, afflict themselves in this area, at least not to do what the desires are, not to act upon the desires. But in that is the concept of subjugating physicality. Only then will the light of the neshama take hold of the person.
Also, I don't know if it's a different concept, but when a broken person will beseech Hashem more, a person feels so good and everything's going great for them, they don't reach out to Hashem as much. I don't know if that's a different.
No, I think it's the same inyan that. When a person is tzibrochem, that's when they...
It's exactly the opposite. The broken person is beseeching Hashem because it's completely out of my control. All these horrible things have happened to me, and I have no clue what to do about this, so I beseech Hashem. If, on the other hand, I'm so much in control that I'm carrying a bag of rocks around and not eating a roll that's in my hand, then why am I beseeching Hashem? It seems to me that it's just the opposite of this. I'm making my own will. I'm elevating my own will to the biggest thing around. That's my difficulty with this whole thing.
I'm not sure what you're saying now.
What you're doing is you're exercising your own will. I'm really hungry, but I'm not going to eat this roll. No, I'm going to carry this bag of rocks. It's whatever, if I feel like doing something, I'm going to strengthen my will so that I won't do it.
That's enough. No, that's contrary. It's not what he's saying. He's saying that to eat this roll.
I really want to eat this roll, I'm not going to.
Right.
Because exercising and strengthening your will, I can have my will... dominate over my physicality.
Okay.
But still, it's strengthening myself, and that doesn't make me call out to Hashem. That makes me feel like I am the Superman.
Should call up. You should be praising.
It's not me, though.
Of course, you should be praising Hashem.
No, because that's not.
This as an exercise seems like it's going in the opposite direction. I'm missing something. I realize I'm missing something. I'm asking, what am I missing?
I don't think I'm not exercising my will. My will is to eat it.
Exactly.
So I'm not
my will is, despite the fact that I really want this, I'm not going to eat it.
So what is my will, to eat it or not to eat it?
My desire is to eat it. My will is to force myself not to. It's the triumph of the will that certain people have talked about.
Okay, now why is my will not to eat it?
To subjugate your desire.
Okay, it's subjugating desire, but it's not subjugating stubbornness. It's certainly subjugating desire. That's absolutely. But it's not subjugating stubbornness.
It's redirecting your stubbornness.
It's exercising
redirecting your stubbornness into a more positive way.
Possibly.
I'm not sure why it's more positive. I'm really thirsty, so I'm not going to allow myself to drink. Why is this positive?
Well,
we're not talking about it in a dangerous way. We're only talking about... We're talking about will over desire. We are talking about will over desire. Right. I do think it works. There's got to be a fine difference between what you're saying and what he's saying. Because what he's saying
is... I recognize that, but I don't know what it is.
He's saying that the person... That this is an exercise he is demonstrating here an exercise of he is not demonstrating here an exercise of control. It's not what he's demonstrating here. That's what you're demonstrating. He's demonstrating an exercise of humility. That I am subjugating my desires for the sake of serving Hashem. And In essence, I think it is. There is some aspect of control here. Because in order to be able to serve Hashem properly, I need to be, my mind needs to be in control of my heart. So if I allow myself everything that my heart desires, so my heart will be in control of my own, of me, and there's no way I can serve Hashem that way. Right? So there is this aspect which you're saying is, my mind needs to be in control, and if my mind tells me that this is not something that I need for my well-being, then I need to be able to be in control and not to give in to my desires.
Okay, it's triumph over desires.
Right. So, what?
Yes, you're right. I agree with you completely. This is triumph over desires.
What he's saying is, mind is not physicality. Desire is. So one is subjugating their physicality by allowing their mind to be in control.
Maybe the difficulty is in the translation of stubbornness. Maybe it doesn't mean what it means in English, because certainly stubbornness is a triumph of mind and will over countervailing things. That's what stubbornness is.
Right. I mean, I think there were two things here. There was number one was circumcise the clogging of your hearts, which he interpreted to mean subjugating one's desires. And then the second thing was to overcome your stubbornness, which that was the purpose of carrying the bag of rocks. Could be the two things. But what the parents were saying, I think, is absolutely true. I think we find in the Pesukim, right? Yishvan Yishurim Vayivot, right? That when a person becomes complacent, and too comfortable and complacent, then they totally forget about Hashem.
Right.
It's when there are difficulties in a person's life, and the person feels
broken. Self-imposed difficulties. You're not calling out, I'm really thirsty and I've got a glass of water in my hand. I'm not going to crawl out to Hashem to make me not thirsty.
No, that's not the point. The point is, though, that you are breaking yourself while you're doing so.
But you've got two choices. You've got this to drink or that to drink. That one's going to allow you to satisfy your thirst so that you can be energized to learn. This one is going to tell you, no, I'm going to be falling asleep because I shouldn't be drinking that much, especially at this hour in the morning. That's the difference. Is I want that to do this.
All right.
Shkaya.